This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Welcome to this special edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Hans Dilbeck, and I'm joined here at the table in the studio today with Doug Melton, the pastor of Southern Hills Baptist Church in Oklahoma City, and Stephen Rummage, the pastor of Quail Springs Baptist Church in Oklahoma City, and Joe Ligon, the senior associate executive director for Oklahoma Baptist. And we had an opportunity to sit at the table together in the midst of the spread of the COVID-19, the coronavirus, and the way it's impacting our churches in so many ways. And of course, the primary, most visible way it's impacting us here in kind of the first week of this season is that most of our churches are having to go to an online service, figure out how to have worship without gathering people up in a room. And so we want to talk later about preaching to that empty room, using video to preach the word, proclaim the gospel. But before we do that, I thought we'd take some time together and visit about the elements of an online service of worship, some practical components that when you're going to lead your people to worship, they're in their homes, separated from one each other, linked only together through the computer online, then what are some things you can do in that service of worship aside from the preaching of the word? We're going to get to the preaching of the word later. We know that that's a very important part. And so let me start, Doug Melton, let me just ask you, what are the big objectives? What are we trying to accomplish when we plan and put together an online service of worship?
You know, every time we get together, even this evening, this is a Wednesday, and we're going to be doing an online prayer meeting and Bible study tonight. And so what we need to remember is that every time we get together, our God is worthy of praise. And so we're wanting to glorify God in that setting and that we bring our people into a place where they are worshiping the Lord. Each time we worship, we're equipping and edifying the church. We're building up the body of believers. Every time we get together, also, it is to stimulate one another to good works. The scripture tells us to not neglect the gathering of ourselves together. And so we need to keep that in mind through this whole process, is that we're encouraging folks to worship privately, personally, at home during the week. And then for those online services, that will really strengthen that online corporate time together if we're encouraging folks to worship at home on their own. And again, remembering that admonishment not to neglect the gathering ourselves together. But finally, there's a lost world. And each time we're going to have the opportunity to worship, folks are starving for good news right now. And we have the good news of the gospel. And so we need to make sure that especially, that's always a part of our worship for all of us, but especially during this time, they need to be hearing the gospel.
That's good. That's good. It's important that we have our purpose in mind and we're not just trying to fulfill a task or get the job done, but we are doing it intentionally and with purpose. Well, Dr. Rummage, when you think about the elements of an online service, what comes to your mind as priority? And maybe even you could talk a little bit about what Quail Springs did last Sunday, what you're planning this Sunday, but what are the key elements?
Well, I think that's a good question. And, most of us, I think around this table, have been part of some type of online worship service prior to the coronavirus pandemic. And so we were already posting our stuff online. Our services have been online. But the difference is now we're having to create services that are exclusively and intentionally online, whereas before we invited people to sort of, you know, watch what we're doing in the room, and sort of part of the service. So this is different. And I think that's one of the things that we're struggling and wrestling with at Quail Springs is how to best do that. So this past week, we really kept the service simple. And we started with a word of greeting just to let people know that we were online and why, and to sort of set the table for what was going to happen after that. We moved into a time of musical worship and singing, and from that we moved into the message and then prayer, and then we went on from there. That's how we did it last week, but I'll tell you, we've already seen some things that we're going to do differently. So one thing we've seen is that we need to front load everything other than the message and move it as close as you can to the beginning. So if you've got announcements that you want to do or prayer time that you want to do, I would encourage pastors to put that at the front of the broadcast, because here's what we're seeing happen. When the pastor finishes preaching the message, the people tune out. And maybe before the pastor finishes preaching the message, the people tune out. But they're not going to stay with you for a response song or for a prayer at the end, those types of things. So we are you know, putting all those things at the front so that we can all the things like the greeting, the announcements, how to give. We certainly have a response time at the end of the message, but even at the beginning, we're going to be saying, hey, here's how you can respond. Here's how you can get in touch with us, because we know that when we get to the end, we might not still have everybody with us. And so that's something that we're sort of struggling with this week.
That is a great counsel. That we know that even when they're live, they tune out at that point, but they can literally tune out.
They're gone.
And
right.
That's a really good point. I like that. Let me ask you a word about the giving part, the offering part. How much did you emphasize that last week? How much will you emphasize it this week? I'd like to know specifically what Quail Springs is going to do when it comes to emphasizing giving, but then also Doug Melton, what you're doing. Joe, if you have any thoughts on that as far as the offering, giving as an element in an online service of worship.
Well, and we know that when we're not gathered in the room together, it always has a dramatic negative impact on offering. And I know when I was serving in North Carolina, on average, when we had Sundays that we had to cancel because of snow, we never recovered more than about 50% of what we would normally have received as an offering. Now, this was before online giving and text giving and things like that were as prevalent as they are now. But even so, you know, being present and receiving the offering in the room, it makes a big difference. And so we're going to experience some negative effects because we're not gathered together. So here's some of the things that we're doing. We're sending out letters to our congregation, encouraging them to continue in their giving and reminding them of different ways that they can give, including sending in their tithes and offerings or online giving or text giving. And of course, the great thing about online and text giving is that there's the opportunity to set yourself up to make a recurring gift. So we're talking about that outside of the online worship service, but certainly within the online worship service. And as we've learned this week, near the beginning of the online worship service, we want to let people know about how they can give and to encourage them to give.
That's good. That's a good word.
And I completely agree, Stephen. And all I would add is don't be afraid to let folks know.
Mm-hmm.
In last Sunday, I made a mention of it. Please, church family, remember that the continuing ministry of the church goes on. And so remember that as we give, remember that ministry continues. And as a matter of fact, even more so during this time.
That's a good word. What about the numbers of people involved in a online service compared to a in-person service that you might have typically? Do you sense that this online service will be driven more exclusively by you as the pastor, the preacher? Do you anticipate that lay people or other pastors from the staff will be reading scripture or welcoming people or playing a part? What's your feel for that?
From our context, we are going to include as many as we can. Now, we want to keep down the size. We have to be sensitive to that. But we are going to double the size of our praise team that we would normally have up on the platform. We're going to double the size. And that's simply to try to encourage that congregational singing. The more you have those voices. And so we'll have 7 or 8 up on the platform. We're going to use other ministers on the staff to read scripture and to be a part in that way. So, yeah, we're going to include more.
What do you think about the overall length of the online service? Assuming that your typical Sunday in-person service is an hour service, do you anticipate that an online service will or should be the same time, a little shorter? What do you have an opinion there on the length of the online service?
I think they should be a little shorter. I thought this week that we would be a little shorter. But after I finished preaching, lo and behold, we weren't all that much shorter. So I think we probably need to keep it under an hour, and just realizing, you know, that what we're doing with online worship is a pale substitute for what we do when we're together. It's what we're able to do right now. Praise the Lord that we have the opportunity to do it right now. But to be able to sustain interest and involvement in someone, you know, when somebody's probably doing other things, because they are. Our people are going to be attending these services differently than when they're coming and they're in the room. They're going to be watching us along the way of doing other things. I think keeping it well under an hour would serve us well. And I think looking at what are the most important elements to include and what really translates to an online setting and asking those hard questions as we go along, I think that would help us. I do think I think this not just because I'm a preacher, but I think this because of how people tend to receive messages. I think the interpersonal aspect of the pastor talking to his people will be the most compelling aspect of the online service.
Yeah, I agree. We did three. We live streamed each of our services this last Sunday, all three, and it was 40, 42, 45 minutes. I hate to equate worship service to watching a TV show, mm-hmm. but when folks are watching a TV show, most of them are a half hour long. Some are going to be an hour long, but that hitting in that 40 to 45 is what we're trying to aim for.
And a question about music, let me go ahead and say that in my opinion, context is very important as we talk about all of these online services of worship. So, Pastor, your context will dictate what you do and how you do it, and that's particularly true in music. And the honest truth is, if you don't have really good music, it's going to be hard to do much music in an online service. And if so, that's just fine. And you may be in a position where you don't have any music at all. Maybe you do scripture, you do a call to worship, and open in prayer, and you preach the word. Pastor Melton and Pastor Rummage, Pastor Ligon, what's your thought about, would you reduce the amount of music from live to online as far as the time that you commit to the music? You got any rule of thumb or wisdom there?
We reduced just a little, but not much. And trying to hit at that, which they're in the midst of all the weirdness, there needs to be some elements of sameness of coming back home to something. And so we shortened just a little, but not too much.
I would think as you're planning this, length is important, elements are important. But another issue for me was always the possibility and even the probability that you'll have non-church members engaging in that online service because they've seen it on Facebook that this is going to happen. Some of them will just kind of float by and they'll check in for a little while. So how we're communicating and what we're communicating is not just to our church folk, unless we've closed that group, and I hope that we haven't, but that we really keep in mind the prospect that there will be folk that don't belong to our church, people that don't belong to Jesus yet, that will come by and listen to part of that. And that does a couple of things. Number one, I think it speaks to the necessity of quality, because we want to present the Lord to the best of our ability. And it might change the way we communicate some things, that there may be some folk there that don't speak church as well as others do.
Right. You know, it's been really encouraging, and I'm sure you guys have seen this as well. You know, there are churches who have seen really large numbers of people who have tuned in.
Yeah.
And some churches who have seen large numbers of people who have prayed to receive Christ and have responded in some way. And so that's a blessing from the Lord to have seen that. And I think we'll see that type of thing continue in the days to come. That's what I'm praying for. But I think what Joe said is really instrumental, and that is to ask the question, what can you do well? And if what you do does not translate well onto the video format or the live streaming format, then you might want to think about, okay, let's back up and pare it down to what we can do well.
Amen. Yeah, that's outstanding. And so be sensitive to your context, Pastor. Play to your strengths. And recognize, as Dr. Rummage shared with us, they're in their second week now, and they've already made changes. And so if you're doing this for several weeks, then you're going to improve week by week by week as you get into this and celebrate those improvements.
Stephen, how did you ask folks to respond since you did all online this last Sunday?
Right. So we had have a telephone number for people to call. We have an email address for people to reach out to. And then also we were broadcasting we were live streaming not only on our website but also on Facebook Live. So on Facebook Live, there's an opportunity for immediate interaction. And then we had sort of control center with all of our or most of our age group ministers around a table watching what was happening on Facebook Live, fielding questions or comments, available if any calls came in, all of those things. And I think one of the things that we want to strengthen as we move ahead is how do we tell people to connect with us, and then how do we meaningfully interact with them if they do connect?
Amen. Well, thank you, men, for this time. Thank you for your service to the kingdom and to Oklahoma Baptist. And pastors, we're praying for you as we enter into an exciting new week. We're all going to learn some things. And I believe that many, many people are going to hear the gospel proclaimed that maybe would not hear it if it weren't for this virus crisis.
We mentioned benediction as a part of it, and hence I can remember that's something that you've done in your services, some of those benedictions from Scripture. Share a couple of those.
Oh, yeah. I do think that there's great power in those scriptural benedictions. Of course, I'm sensitive to what Dr. Rummage said about the fact that once the pastor starts winding down, they might click off. But Ephesians 3, of course, is a great one. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. To subscribe, find us on Spotify, the iTunes Store, or your preferred podcast platform. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com today. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.